Oof. The two of them stand naked in front of the inspection room's door. Nana's gaze darts fearfully around the corridor like she's afraid that someone might show up. This is so awkward. I'm surprised you're not feeling shy, Yusha. Are you an exhibit? Are you an exhibition? No, I'm... No, I'm shy about this too, you know, but if I look shy, it just makes me feel worse. I learned how to keep my shame in check at work, but I had to wear string bikinis and the like. They really pushed you against the wall, didn't they? Aren't you too cold? Just looking at you makes me shiver. The Indian doctor says that to them as he leaves the inspection room. Believe me, we're not standing here naked because we want to. You're the one who told us to take our clothes off to begin with, Doctor. Oh yes, I did say that, didn't I? You said you wanted to wait for the inspection's results, so I had you go outside. The two insisted on checking to see if Minori was okay, so the doctor told them to act like they had just returned from battle. That meant they needed to take off their clothes for inspection. The two of them were prepared for sexual harassment, which was what most of their inspections entailed. However, once the doctor took their case once and began his checks, his manner was entirely brusque and indifferent. He removed their devices, tweaked their nipples, touched their clits, and inserted fingers into their vaginas and anuses, confirming they were reacting properly to each stimulus. The two were dumbfounded by how quickly he finished. As the doctor wiped his fingers clean, he said dispassionately that he could keep going if they wanted, but this was enough to confirm they weren't numb. The two refused, of course. But why did we have to be naked? Do you, like, get off to it? You always say you're used to seeing naked girls. But as always, his crotch remains unexcited. He doesn't seem the slightest bit aroused. Well, I'm just erring on the side of caution. If it turns out that you did need an inspection, both you and me would be in trouble. Let me see that. Okay. The two stared in bewildered. The fact that a man on this base could show so much consideration for a woman is simply that unusual and surprising. The fact he doesn't regard them with sexual attraction is comforting. Anyway, as for your friend, 14-1's recent sexual development is quite astounding. Her breasts haven't grown much, but her vulva is quite a bit thicker and the length and size of her nipples and clitoris are very... We don't care about that. Oh, apologies. 14-1, or rather, First Lieutenant Minori Iizuka, was it? I'm not good with names. I tend to remember bodies by their ID numbers. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with her physically. You saved her fast enough so her brain functions didn't sustain any damage from the lack of oxygen. The only issue is, the fact it wasn't a physical issue means we don't know why she couldn't transform. Well, in most cases like these, the problem is usually a mental health issue, and I'm afraid I can't help with that. For now, just let her rest. My, oh my. I guess that's what they call youthful indiscretion. Not that I would know much about that. Minori lies face up on the inspection table in the lab. Her legs are wide open. Surrounding her are young men dressed in lab coats, save for them being naked from the waist down. One half-naked man stands near Minori's face, looking like he's just about to insert his small penis into her mouth. Her body has been given a cursory cleaning, leaving her skin more or less filthy from everything she went through. She looks like she's on the verge of servicing two of the men. Are you gonna watch, leave, or stop them? His assistant's answer is already clear. The corridor of the Special Warfare Trooper residential block is silent. The three of them are still naked. It's not out of preference or choice. Yusha simply suggested that this would be the best way of going about things. There shouldn't be anyone down this corridor. Let's slip through here. Wait, what are you crouching for? Nana squats down where she stands, hiding her breasts and crotch. I can't help it anymore. Let's turn back, get some clothes, and come back later.
服着るよりあと通路を 2,3 通り抜けて部屋に飛び込む方が全然楽ちんでしょ。考えればわかるでしょ。
Are you really that stupid? Why should we turn back when there's a couple of turns away from our room? Excuse me. Why should we turn back when we're just a couple of turns away from our room? It'd be that much easier and safer to go there. Think about it.
そうかもだけど、いくら今なら基地に人が少ないからって。
Yeah, maybe. And there's hardly any people in the base.
シャワー浴びて着替えてからじゃ、みんなが戻ってきて、今のみのりが人目にさらされちゃうでしょうか。
If we take the time to take a shower and get dressed, everyone will get back and see the state Minori's in. You agreed to this too, Nana. Minori still stares into space with hollow, vacant eyes. She's incapable of returning to their room herself, meaning the other two have to drag her along. But at the time, I was too caught up with thinking about helping Minori. I didn't figure I'd have to run around the base naked. The lab could have at least given us some bandages or an eye patch or something. What? Are you a mummy? Besides, I don't think there's an eye patch out there that could hide those milk jugs of yours. Forget it. Let's just go. Despite the desperate seriousness of their situation, their plan is reckless to the point of comedy. If any of the burly male officers were to find them, all three of them would likely be raped. But Ayusha's assumption is correct. The girls are all out serving as the inspector's escorts, rather, and the men are on standby in their own residential block on high combat alert. After coming this far, it isn't likely that anyone will encounter them while they're naked like this. This base is crazy. So the way this place is going, they'll have the girls prancing around naked every day anyway. Just think of this as an early practice for that. Ayusha is about to make a turn when Nana suddenly grabs her by the arm. Don't! I can hear something that way. Don't go there! Something's approaching them from the other corridor. Try so quiet because whoever is coming is trying to sneak around themselves. Guess we'll have to go back to the last turn we made. Ayusha makes the turn. That's what it says. Ayusha makes the turn around and return the way they came, but another presence is audible from that direction too. Ayusha bites her lip. Nana, I'll seduce and distract that guy. Yeah, the guy ahead, okay? Use the opportunity to take Minori back to our room. Oh, that's a great idea. I mean, no, you can't. That means you'll have to go through something terrible instead. Just then, Minori shakes off Nana's hands and runs off. Oh, shit. Minori! But Minori doesn't stop. She turns the corner, revealing her filthy body to the approaching figure. I'm a pervert running around the base naked with a thirsty pussy. So take me here and... But Minori trails off and freezes up. The thing approaching her is just a cleaning robot. It activated only because it detected that the corridors were unoccupied. Ayusha and Nana catch up to Minori, grab her, and run off. The three of them finally take refuge in their room. Minori, what the hell's gotten into you? Getting raped by them would affect you the hardest out of all of us. Why did you run off like that? I was shocked. Ayusha grabs Minori by the shoulders and shakes her. Don't you understand? Right now you're completely emotionally unstable. You let those perverts rape you earlier. No. When they inspected me, they were so... They looked like they wanted to do me, so I opened my legs and... What the hell are you saying? If you let men fuck you every time they get horny, you'll run yourself ragged in no time! Minori averts her gaze painfully and mutters. But I'm not a special warfare trooper anymore. Minori, but that's just temporary. Minori, what happened? We're your friends, you can tell us, or do you not want to be friends with me? Minori frantically shakes her head. I mean, I know I'm not like Yusha. All I can really do is listen, but you don't have to talk to me if you don't want to. Minori starts speaking, albeit haltingly. She tells him how she met with someone who she thought could help her, but all that man did was thoroughly rape her, all while thoroughly tramping over her past, her future, everything she hoped for. When I was on Earth, there was someone I liked, and I was a bit uneasy about it, but I think he might have liked me too. But I was wrong. He has a fiance, and he made arrangements for me to be sent here. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had the right to come here. And he saw footage of me having sex with the commander and laughed, saying he knew that's what I'm like. Tears streamed down from her cheeks. She thought she wouldn't be able to cry anymore with her emotions so utterly broken. Lisette was in that state, and then I saw you being raped, but I couldn't help you. And then I got gang raped, but it didn't even hurt anymore. It just felt good. It felt so good. They raped me, but it felt good. They already disciplined me so hard. I just lost hope. The only thing I'm good for anymore is being a sex doll for the men. Yusha and Nana exchanged glances, recalling what happened. They remember how, while they were being raped in that room, Minori called out for them while being raped more viciously than either of them. Minori, that's not true. That's just how they... excuse me. That's just how they try to get you. They want to corner us emotionally because they can do whatever they want with us that way. They call you dirty names, they look down on you, and make you admit they're right. They humiliate you time after time to break your heart. They did it to me before. But I already admitted deep down, that's why my gear won't deploy. I can't fight anymore. I can't do anything. Yusha looks for the right words to say, but comes up short. Minori did lose her power. There's no glossing over that fact. That's not true. It's not, Minori. You can fight just fine. Yusha and me saw you. Nana covers Minori's head with both of her hands. Earlier, when we thought the cleaning robot was a man, I panicked. You jumped ahead to protect us, didn't you? You did what you could to help us. You haven't changed at all. You put your body on the line to protect everyone, and maybe that didn't work out, but you still tried your hardest. Look at how ragged you are because of that. If anyone insults you and says you failed, I'll tell them straight up that I'm proud of you. I'm proud to be your friend. You know, when I came here, I wasn't prepared to fight or anything when I came here. But I survived because I have you and Yusha. And well, that's because you always try so hard. Because you always cheer me up. So even if you can't transform for a while right now, Minori, I'll just work extra hard to fill in for you. Minori hugs Nana before she even knows it. A moment later, she remembers how dirty she is and tries to move away, but Nana pulls her back into an embrace. Yusha shrugs with tired exasperation. Let me just say this for now, Minori. I always thought you were kind of a drag. I always called you Miss First Lieutenant whenever I thought about you. You get angry at every turn and get yourself in trouble when you don't have to. You wear yourself out like that, so I always thought I'd be better off not getting involved with you. Wow, that's mean. But before I knew it, I just couldn't ignore you. Like, you're so honest to a fault, and you can't read the room to save your life. If I don't stick with you, who knows what'll happen to you? Ugh. But I was the dumb one here. I mean, you were fighting the same things I was fighting, too. I couldn't act like it had nothing to do with me. You wanna know why I fight? It's not for some greater good or anything like that. I just want to survive until the very end. That's all. She then adds a bit sheepishly. I want all three of us to survive. Together.
Uh-huh.
Come on, Yusha, you're basically saying the same thing I did, so why do you have to be so roundabout? Nana hugs Yusha tightly, too. Minori does the same. Yeah, that's right. I hate to admit it, but I'm as dumb as you are. Warmth envelops Minori's heart. She may have lost her past and future, but the warm arms that hold her tight are still here. Within these arms is a different future, unlike the one she dreamed of before coming here. She won't believe in fighting for the future or to protect mankind anymore. She'll no longer look to Lisette for inspiration. But if it's to survive with these two, she can fight. Nana. Ayusha. Thank you. I'm so glad I got to be in the same room as you two. She's happy. Minori weeps, but not with sorrow. These are tears of happiness. Her tears feel like they're washing away her past self. This must be this fate thing. I'm really happy, too. What are you crying for? You look stupid. It was just a coincidence. Ayusha stares at the other two as they cry. Ayusha speaks curtly like she's trying to hide her embarrassment, but her voice does sound a little nasal and tearful. Minori, sorry, but you kinda smell. You're awful. I went through hell, so you could cut me some slack. Let's all take a shower together then. We're all naked anyway. Yeah. Minori smiles. The fact that she can still smile leaves her overjoyed. We got three naked girls and a fucking ship full of perverts. I'm sure this is gonna work out well. How did the inspection go? Oh man. Some shit's going down, folks. July 1st. As pleasurable as ever, in more ways than one. Did you do what I asked you? Oh, fuck. Mitsumi might be a bad guy, folks. Of course, I let her know. That woman, Minori Iizuka, she was quite happy to hear it. Dining here in the Sky Lounge's restaurant are the man who filled Minori's heart with despair, and Mitsumi. They both converse pleasantly with smiles on their lips. So, who told you? I didn't need anyone to tell me. Group 14's very famous. Anyone who sleeps with them tends to brag. Prideful men are tight-lipped on matters concerning women. Strip away that gaudy pride and the truth becomes self-evident. I think you were the one who taught me that. The fact that Mitsumi can so easily see right through him does nothing to shake Mr. Boggenholm's composure. He almost seems satisfied by Mitsumi's answer. So you remembered, but it doesn't matter what your intentions are. She won't be of any use to you. Meaning? Have you seen the footage? She's terribly promiscuous. The commander went to great lengths to train her, and she jumped at the chance to service the inspection committee. Though I guess that, given how she plunged headfirst to such an obscene duty, she's worth relishing in bed. Mitsumi doesn't betray any signs of emotion when this man tells him that he slept with Minori. What can you expect? She's nothing more than a low-born orphan from Mars. Handling all her attempts at seducing me was grating on my nerves. Yeah. Wow. Seems she was right. Wow. The whole time we thought that these two were a thing and... No. Wow. He was using her, for real. Like, for real, guys. Remember the very first chapter? His voice lacks any hint of affection towards Minori. I'm relieved. Given the message you asked me to relay, I was starting to think you might actually still have feelings for him. Haha, you think someone from our family of snakes has these kinds of emotions? I felt nothing for her to begin with. I just considered using her as a pawn at one point, that's all. So, since you didn't tell her what I asked you, what did you tell her? That you have a fiancé, for a long time, since before she started thinking you two were in a relationship. She was probably still intent on ensnaring you, so seeing that she never had a chance in the first place probably came as a major shock to her. I see. You tried to make her give up on trying to worm her way into the Bogenholm family through me. But did you really need to do that? Minori Izuka's chance of returning to Earth are effectively nil. That would be true in most cases, but we're going to fail in our attempts to handle the moon's witch. The what? The man speaks with such conviction that Mitsumi immediately understands what he means. And so they relinquish Mars to those foxes. Our leader truly is a wicked man. He won't just fail and let them take Mars away. The Moon's Witch is the strongest special warfare trooper, second only to Lysette. No army on this planet can hope to oppose her. So our only choice is to beseech the Cathedral for help. We will offer them a large payment in return for the dispatch of special warfare troopers to stop her for us. Even so, I can't see the Cathedral ever relinquishing Lysette. What they'll probably do instead is send a few of those girls back here. But why would they send Group 14? There's other special warfare troopers. That witch, strong as she is a terrorist. Yet the UEF is powerless to stop her, requiring that special warfare troopers are sent back to Earth to do so. If the public were to learn of that, the UEF's image would be tarnished in the eyes of the public. If special warfare troopers are to be recalled to Earth, it must be done under the pretense of another excuse. If I recall, one of Group 14's members was a member of an idol group used for the military's PR department. Though the other two of the three idols in the unit basically didn't do anything. So if they exchange those useless members with the other two from Group 14, they can recall all three of them with the claim that it's a PR stunt for the military. Right, I see. If that's the case, then I can see why you did that. I'm glad you understand. Of course, even if we return the hero back to Earth, I'm not sure she'd be any condition to fight the witch right now. Is her condition getting worse? As you might imagine, she's basically a sex doll now. She'll probably completely break sooner or later. The military's gonna need a few faces to advertise itself, and Group 14 seems to be a strong candidate. If the hero's this close to breaking, is there any chance we could acquire her as a sample? Even our family has its limits. She is a symbol, after all. In that case, you really did something unnecessary. The young man's voice is cold, as befitting of someone with a family like a nest of conniving snakes. Well, what do you mean? Overwhelmed by Mitsumi's tone, the man feels fear creeping into his voice. The young man only calmly replies. Our group's market share for interplanetary transport ships has taken a nosedive. The biggest transports, the ones heading for the cathedral, are currently run by our group. But that might not continue into next year or the one after. Were you aware of that? Yes. What do you think would happen if we were to develop a groundbreaking engine capable of even interstellar travel at a time like this? Well, our group would seize control of the market in its entirety. Mitsumi smiles amicably. And if we were to understand the science behind magical girls move the way they do, we'd be able to make that kind of engine, wouldn't we? No, you don't mean... You see now, our family has gained every possible secret it can, even those that are confidential military information. And if the military won't give us a special warfare trooper, then we'll just need to make a special warfare trooper come to us of her own free will. And if that woman still has feelings for me, that would make things that much easier. So regardless of what you told her, if she's coming back to Earth, we can still make use of her. And if she isn't, we'll need to provide her with motivation powerful enough to make her go through the trouble of escaping that prison in outer space. And love is the strongest motivator we can come up with, no? Seeing Mitsumi say such words with a smile causes the man to shudder in fear.